And good morning, everybody out there at United Kingdom Radio. Happy 2011 from Tom Harris at Tom Harris Live here on United Kingdom Radio. If you're listening on January 1st at 10.03 a.m., then you are listening to me live. If you're listening at any other time, then you are listening to a recorded show. Quite a big change here at the station this past week, with several people going on hiatus or leaving the station altogether. What a shame. But we do think that we're going to get more people, hopefully, and other people come in and replace them. And hopefully some of these folks will decide to come back at some point. So very, very sad to see these folks leave. But, you know, sometimes you have to move on. That's sometimes what you have to do. All right, so here we are, and it is a beautiful day here in Chicago, Illinois. We've had a very unseasonably warm last few days, and temperatures going up into the 40s and even up into the 50s. And those of you who are listening may hear some background noise coming from my studio. And that is because there's actually somebody here. he's making horrible hand signals at me, telling me to shut up. but yes, Chris is saying, lovely, you got into the Skype. Okay, great. Yes, thank you very much, Chris. We have a little bit of a change because of the new year. And of course, that's... of course, that's what happens. Anyway, Pete's here, but he's not going to say anything on the show. So don't even ask, because he's sleeping. So you might hear some snoring in the background, but that's it. Anyway, what I was talking about is that we now have temperatures in the 40s outside, and it's been very, very warm for the last few days. Over the last several weeks, we've had a fair amount of snowfall. I would say in my neighborhood, somewhere accumulation of about 6 to 8 inches. So people were actually like building things like snowmen and things outside. And we had some pretty big piles of snow. But in the last 72 hours, almost every single bit of that is gone. And we just have a few little crusty little remains here and there. But it's getting colder again, so it's going to freeze. But for now, we don't have any snow. Well, anyway, I hope that everybody had a really good holiday. I was on Christmas Day. And did my little December 25th holiday show. And for those of you who don't listen to every show, I know there's a few people out there who only listen to me, or only listen to Chris, or only listen to Paul. Last Sunday, on Paul Edwards' show, we did the Christmas pantomime. And that was written by Suco, and it starred a lot of us United Kingdom Radio presenters, and it's a good bit of fun. So if you're interested in hearing that, go listen to the Paul Edwards Show for December 26th, and you can hear us doing the story of So Bright. Very, very entertaining. It was a lot of fun to do, and I really hope that we can continue to do that sort of thing every once in a while here on United Kingdom Radio, because it is very much like a family. And we have a lot of us presenters who, you know, we speak even when we're not on the air, and talk to each other when we're not doing our shows, and of course on our shows as well, and appearing on each other's shows. So it was a lot of fun, and I was really very pleased to take part in that. So today is our hangover special. Yes, if anybody did anything at all on New Year's Eve, please feel free to call in. The contact information for the show is, you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio, or indeed, if you're in the UK, you can phone in at 020-328-7188. That's a local London area number. It's not a premium rate number, and you can actually telephone in. So, what I was hoping to do, I didn't really have time because I was kind of busy the last couple of days. But what I was hoping to do is have a very, very soft show, you know, and have low music and a very relaxing sort of atmosphere. And then every once in a while throw in like a car horn or a siren or the sound of jackhammering. For all of you people who are nursing hangovers today, we didn't really do much for New Year's Eve. And it was a low-key New Year's Eve, unlike last year when we went out to downtown Chicago and were just kind of in the middle of it. This year, Pete came over and we went out to a nice dinner and came back here. And we're just spending a nice, quiet New Year's Eve here, just the two of us. And it was very lovely. And as I said, Pete's still here, but he's trying to ignore me right now. So so everybody go out in the street right now and blow your car horns and, you know, jackhammer on the sidewalk. And you make those people who drank too much last night pay for what they've done. Chris is asking. Oh, okay. Sorry about that, Chris. Yeah, one thing I noticed, Chris was very soft on his show today. Didn't you find that? I found that. There we go. Is that a little bit better there, Chris? Hopefully. I know that things have gotten nudged on here, on my mixer over the last few days. Ian is saying they have grass there in Ottawa, and so far they've only had 4 inches of snow. The crows love seeing the grass. The crows? Ian, do you keep crows? That's interesting. Ian was at 9. You know, I had a voice file here from Ian, and I put it in my Jingle Palette to play out on the show. But unfortunately, Jingle Palette doesn't recognize the file type. And I didn't have time to convert it. So unfortunately, I cannot play out Ian's New Year message because it's in some stupid format. It's got to be a Mac format, like one of these proprietary formats that only Mac devices can play. So unfortunately, that means you can't hear it, folks. if we had it on MP3, maybe we could hear it. Chris is saying the volume is fine now. Thank you very much, Chris. It was very good, interesting to hear the tarot reading on Chris's last show, and I've spoken with Stephen Parker, who had called into Chris. I'd spoken to him about tarot many times before, and I think that kind of stems back to a tarot show that I did on my podcast just over a year ago now, back Tom Harris USA episode number 20 and 21. Were devoted to the topic of tarot, which is something I find really, really interesting. Not because there's really anything to it, because I think, as everyone knows, I'm very much a skeptic when it comes to the paranormal, anything that purports to be paranormal. But there's definitely something interesting in tarot that has nothing to do with, you know, spirits or, you know, anything like that. But it has to do with the way the human mind works in making sense out of random data. So you have this sort of, you know, this dissonance in the information you're being fed, and your mind makes sense of it one way or another. And I think tarot is a really good example of that. So fantastic. And it's always really interesting. And maybe someday I'll do tarot on this show. I don't use the traditional tarot deck the way that Steven does, but maybe someday I'll do that. If anybody is interested in hearing me do tarot on this show, they should, in fact, let me know. Not going to do it this week, though, folks, because I can't be bothered, to be quite honest. All right, so I had some emails over the last week. In addition to the sound file that Ian sent me, he sent me lots of photos from his holiday, including some really, really cute photos of his cats. He has two beautiful tabby, I guess that they're tabby, yeah, tabby cats. And it was really nice seeing the pictures. So thank you very much, Ian, for sending that along. I also had a message from Mark in Bristol, one of our regular listeners here. Hello, Mark, if you're out there. And he said that he enjoyed the panto and it sent a nice little holiday mail. And thank you very much for that. I always do like hearing from the listeners, either by Skype, of course, or also by email. And you can email the show. The email address for this show is Tom. Excuse me. A little bit of a cough there. the email for the show is tom@unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. Or indeed, you can send the email to tom@tomharrisusa.com. Either way, it comes to the same email box. So if you send it to both, I'll get it twice. So don't do that. All right. So next week's show is going to be a real adventure, folks. And the reason why, I'm not sure what my voice is going to sound like next week. And the reason for that is because this is the week. This is the week that I'm having my endoscopy done. I've mentioned this on a previous show. Friday, I have to take a half day off work and go up to Evanston Hospital and have an endoscopy done. And basically what that is they take this little teeny tiny camera and they stick it down your throat. So I'm having that done next Friday at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm assuming that it's not going to affect my voice at all. I don't know how big the camera is. But it could be that my voice is a little rough. I suppose if anything, if it's too bad, then there might not be a show next week. But hopefully it'll all be just fine. And they won't be doing, they won't be doing any damage to my voice, and I'll be able to do my show as normal. And at the same time, they're doing another procedure, which I don't like to talk about. We have messages coming in here. Ian is saying, the crows. He's mentioning the crows. He says there are 50 crows feeding on the grass. Are you sure they're not cows, Ian? Cows eat grass. I don't know what crows eat. Do they eat grass? I guess they must eat grass. And Walter, one of his cats, is watching the crows intently. Yeah. Cats do that. You get something out the window, a bird or a squirrel or a person. They'd be staring at them for hours. And that's what we love about cats, isn't it? All right. So, also in other news, I do have a new Tom Harris USA podcast, episode number 102, that is going to be coming out sometime next week. And I'd been kind of, it's kind of a wrap-up, getting back to the tarot-type stuff here. It's a wrap-up of my psychic predictions. And long-time listeners to my show, especially people who've been listening to my podcast before I came on to United Kingdom Radio and was doing the show live, I made 10 psychic predictions back in, I think it was May of 2009, which were my psychic predictions for 2009 and 2010, and yet being as 2010 just ended, I get to go on now and I get to brag about my track record. Yes, I did quite well actually. And for if you want to hear more, you can pay attention to TomHarrisUSA.com and the pre-recorded show, Tom Harris USA, episode number 102, and that is my psychic predictions wrap-up show. I haven't been doing very many of the podcasts lately, I'm afraid. But you can actually go through it all, and we'll dissect each one and kind of explain what I did, how I got it right, et cetera, It ought to be very interesting. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play Chris Reardon Has Decreed for this week. It's a bit of a rerun this week, folks, but I thought it was appropriate for the holiday season. So here we go. Chris Reardon.
I love it.
And as you know, every week I go and I scour old episodes of United Kingdom Talk and to find out what Chris Reardon has been decreeing this week. And Chris Reardon has decreed this week, this one is not actually recorded. Ooh, you know it's bad when we have one of those. Chris Reardon has decreed that we all turn up for our show on time. Uh-oh, I can't find my sound effect here. Oh, well. Heaven forbid that we all show up for our shows on time. But stay tuned, because Chris often says very strange things, including things like this.
I have ordered something, boys and girls. It's very nice. It's like a long rectangular box, and in it are my large instrument, certain politicians, my Dyson Hoover, two dogs that look like Pluto, and Suko.
And that was Chris Herden has presented for, or has decreed for this week. It's always fun to put those things together. I need to go and have a little bit of a cough, so here is a trail.
Hi, it's Suko. I tried to be more political and edgy. Doesn't seem to work. So it's back to simply being United Kingdom Radio Sex Goddess. Join me live Sundays at 5 p.m. UK time, 12 noon New York time, for some random chat with a little sensuality thrown in. I can't help it.
And that was our friend, the lovely Suko, who will be here tomorrow from 5 p.m. here on United Kingdom Radio, as she is every Sunday. And Suko was the one who wrote the panto that we did last week on Paul Edwards' show. So very, very nice to hear. Going to go ahead and move along today. If anybody would like to call in, let us know how their New Year's went, how their Christmas went. Because, you know, when I was on here, it was still kind of before Christmas for a lot of people, because a lot of people don't get up early in the morning. So if you're in the U.S., you may not have even been awake for my show. And feel free to Skype in. Let us know how your holidays were. And the Skype address, again, is United Kingdom Radio. Or if you're in the UK, you can call in at 020-3287-1488. So my Christmas was very low-key, as it always is. As I have been talking about on my show many times before, I don't really do holidays. And I came here and I did the show. And did that, and then just kind of wandered around. I went out geocaching, actually, on Christmas Day. I went out and found a cache not too far from here. And just kind of got out and about. And just generally kind of spent a quiet day not doing much of anything. And then the next day I went onto Paul's show, as I talked about earlier. So that was basically my very, very low-key Christmas Day. And then the day after Christmas, after Paul's show got together with Pete, we went out for a very, very nice dinner and, you know, just kind of had a nice time together after that last week. This week has been a very, very stressful week, folks, and I'll have to tell you why. And it's one of those things that you just kind of can't get around because it's going to kind of be the elephant in the room for a while. Those of you who may remember back to 2009... will remember that between October of 2009 and January of 2010, I was unemployed. Then my employer called and offered me my old job back in January of 2010, and I have been back at my old job ever since. However, I have just learned this past week, actually it was right before Christmas, so it was before the last show, folks, and I kind of deliberately withheld the information because I didn't want to be a downer. But it does look as though I'm going to be losing my job again, probably in February. Not really sure about that. That's not very long, far away. I mean, that's only a matter of what, about, that's four paychecks away, 8 weeks away. So it does look as though I will be losing my job again. And maybe I'll have more time to do shows. Maybe I'll have time to do another show here, during the week. I don't know. But it's one of the situations, I have no control over it. I have nothing, there's nothing I can do about it. But they need me there, at least while they get things wrapped up. We have a message coming in. Ian Duff is saying that after my show, he's going to celebrate his New Year with champagne and lobster linguine. Oh, that sounds good. Bring some here to Chicago. That sounds really lovely. I think that after the show today my beautiful boyfriend Pete and I are going to go out and have some brunch. Have very nice New Year's brunch. Yeah, we didn't get up to any hard drinking last night, but we each had some some alcohol last night and watched some videos and spent a nice quiet time together. But anyway, that's getting off the subject. So it looks as though I'm going to be losing my job sometime again in the near future, and I'll be back on the job market. And yeah, it's frustrating, but like last time, you know, you kind of have to take it one day, one week, one month at a time. And, you know, there seem to be more jobs out there now than there were last year, back when I was still looking for jobs previously. So, and you never know what might happen with the company I'm with, because what's happening is the company is currently owned by three people, but these three people are actually dissolving this partnership, this partnership that they have. And the restaurants that are owned by the partnership are also being split up. So there is a possibility still that maybe one or the other of the partners will offer me a position, but that does seem to be rather unlikely at this point. A new person has come in, a new corporate entity has come in and purchased two of the restaurants. So we have two of the partners who are almost completely out of the picture now. So it does, it does forebode that this will not be the same as the last situation, where I will have the possibility of being called back at any time. And I'm not looking forward to being unemployed again, and I'm certainly not looking forward to, you know, job hunting and all of that rubbish, because it's not much fun at all. Anyway, if anyone would like to call into the show, please feel free to do so. Again, the Skype is United Kingdom Radio. Or indeed, you can call in at 020-3287-1488. And I'm going to go ahead and move on to Today in History. January 1st in history. Today in history, back in 404, the last gladiator competition was held in the Colosseum in Rome. In 1673, the first regular post delivery began between New York and Boston here in the U.S. In 1701, the Act of Union took effect, uniting Great Britain and Ireland, creating the United Kingdom. In 1772, the first traveler's checks were issued in London. I wonder if they were Thomas Cook. Maybe they were. That was a joke, but it might be real. In 1788... the Quakers in Pennsylvania emancipated their slaves. It's 80 years before the Emancipation Proclamation. In 1863, slavery in the rest of the United States was ended by the Emancipation Proclamation, which was issued by President Abraham Lincoln on this day in 1863. In 1877, Britain's Queen Victoria was proclaimed the Empress of India. In 1880, the building of the Panama Canal began down in Panama. In 1893, Japan adopted the Gregorian calendar. Yeah, prior to that, they used the calendar that, the traditional Japanese calendar, which a lot of people actually still use in Japan, though it's, you know, for official things. Yeah, you know, it's the same calendar as we have, the Gregorian calendar. In 1901, Australia declared its independence from the Federation of UK Colonies. In 1908, for the first time, a ball signifying the new year was dropped at Times Square. Has anybody noticed how tacky that has become? I don't watch the Times Square thing, but has anybody noticed how tacky that all is now? It's this big, huge crystal thing with all these flashing lights and, I don't know. Whatever happened to the old days with Guy Lombardo and... Yeah. I'm sounding like an old fuddy-duddy now. Anyway. In 1923, the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialistic Republics, was established. In 1946... the Emperor Hirohito of Japan announces that he is not a god. Well, neither am I, folks. I am declaring to you on January 1st of 2011, I am not a god. In 1956, Elvis Presley recorded Heartbreak Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee for RCA Records. In 1962, the Beatles' Decca audition is unsuccessful in getting them a record contract. And the rest is history, folks. In 1971, cigarette advertisements were banned on television here in the U.S. In 1979, the United States and the People's Republic of China began diplomatic relations. In 1980, Sweden did away with their patrilineal system of royalty and declared that the firstborn child of the monarch would be the next monarch, the heir to the throne, regardless of gender. This is why we have Crown Princess Victoria there over in Sweden. In 1985, VH1 debuted. In 1993, it was the Velvet Divorce. Czechoslovakia separated into two separate states, the Czech Republic, which I spoke extensively about on a couple of shows ago, and Slovakia. Also in 1993, Harry Connick Jr., the musician and actor, was arrested at a New York airport for carrying a handgun. 1995, the last Far Side cartoon by cartoonist Gary Larson was published. Gary Larson has been surviving on merchandise ever since. And in 1996, after 27 years, Betty Rubble debuted as a Flintstone vitamin. All right, so moving on to famous birthdays. Famous birthdays on January 1st include, in 1735, Paul Revere, who famously yelled that the British were coming. In 1750, I don't want to know how he knew that. In 1752, Elizabeth Griscom Ross, otherwise known as Betsy Ross, who made the first American flag, was born. People tend to think that Betsy Ross was kind of an old lady when she made the flag, but she was only, 26 years old. So she wasn't... her old lady image is not accurate. In 1895, J. Edgar Hoover, who was head of the FBI for many, many years, was born. 1900, Xavier Cugat, the last of the great big band leaders. I think people know him today mainly for being Charo's husband. In 1909, Barry Goldwater, Republican senator from Arizona, presidential candidate in 1964, was born. In 1919, J.D. Salinger, the novelist of Catcher in the Rye, was born in New York City. 1933, actor and dramatist Joe Orton was born in England. 1938, Beatrix Wilhelmina Armgard, the Queen of the Netherlands, was born. She took the throne in 1980, and she is still the Queen of the Netherlands today, I believe. In 1940, Frank Langella, the actor, was born. I bet Suko knows who that is. 1942, Country Joe McDonald of Country Joe and the Fish was born. 1942 also, Don Novello, also known as Father Guido Sarducci, was born in Ashtabula, Ohio. And in 1958, Grandmaster Flash was born in New York City. And that was Today in History. And I'll be right back after this jingle.
Hello, it's Paul Edwards here, and I have a brand new slot on United Kingdom Radio, and I'm on a Sunday evening for 2 hours between 7 and 9 p.m. So help me out here. I need you all. Call the show and talk about the topics or anything you want to. So I look forward to speaking to you all soon on United Kingdom Radio.
All right, and that was Paul Edwards, who is on here tomorrow. And as always, is a very interesting listen. I think he's doing a beer show this week. Anybody who's interested in beer, please feel free to tune into Paul's show. And of course, I still need calls and feedback here. If anybody is out there listening, is anybody out there? I don't know. It just seems like today's show, as action-packed as has been, is just going by so slowly today. So, please feel free to give us a call and have a
chat,
and we can talk about whatever you like. And it is our hangover special, so if anybody is out there hungover, please feel free to call in, and I can play annoying sound effects to you and make you feel even worse than you are right now. So we do have another travel segment coming up in the very near future. I was kind of looking for feedback on some of the travel segments, and what I've heard back has been very, very positive so far. So I'm going to continue doing these travel segments periodically. And the next travel segment, which I'm not really prepared to do right now, is going to be about Denmark. Now, originally, I was going to do Copenhagen on its own. I was going to do just sort of, you know, the city of Copenhagen as its own little travel segment. But I realized as I was, you know, kind of looking over material, starting to put together a few notes here and there, that my experience of Denmark is basically Copenhagen and a little bit of the outlying area. So I'm going to do it all as one thing and just try to cover as much of the country of Denmark as I've seen. However, I'm not prepared to do that this week. So maybe I'll do it next week. Not really sure. It'll depend on the throat thing, of course, as I said. But you can look forward to more of these travel shows in the coming year, because I have a lot of travel stories and a lot of talking about the various places in Europe that I've been. Now, one thing that I've been thinking about, and I've been thinking about it more and more over the last week or so since I found out that I was going to be losing my job, is the idea of taking a trip, possibly to the UK, possibly to Japan, or possibly not either, possibly staying home. Staying in the U.S. and doing kind of a road trip thing and going and visiting members of my family, which is kind of looking like the most likely option at this point. And so I am thinking about various plans, because I'm going to have probably a couple of weeks break between the time of my last day of work and the time that I can really kind of start moving on the whole job search thing. And I did this last time, too, actually. After I lost my job last time, I actually took the whole summer off. And was, not the last time I lost my job, but the time before that, before I started working for the company I'm working for now. I actually took the entire summer off and had certain things during the summer that I wanted to do, and I made time to do them. Had a very, very nice little, three-month break before I started looking. But I don't know if I'm going to have that luxury this time. We have messages coming in. Ian is here. Hello, Ian. If you've been listening, then you know. Ian says he loves the travel segments. Thank you, Ian. That's very, very nice to hear. And so stay tuned, because you're going to be hearing about Denmark soon. And I do have, of course, always, if people noticed, I'm trying to go in alphabetical order. It's the only way that I can remember which ones I've done and which ones I haven't done. Ian wants me to talk about Tivoli Gardens. I will do so. I will do so on my Denmark show. Not that I really have been in Tivoli Gardens very much, I have to say. It's one of those things that I think it kind of has the reputation of being for old folks and little children. And not being an old folk and not being little children is not something that really has interested me much in the past. However, I have been there, and I have walked through there. So you can hear that probably next week on the show. I'll be talking about Denmark. Don't think it's going to be a two-parter the way the Czech Republic was. So we'll get to that when we get to that. So what I was thinking about as far as this upcoming vacation, now I do have several options, and one of the things I was thinking about, of course, is coming to the UK. And it would be brilliant to see all the people who I work with here on United Kingdom Radio. Maybe get together with some of them, maybe some of the listeners, and just kind of wander around. There's the thing is, one of the reasons why this idea of going to the UK is so tempting is that I've been in the UK at almost every time of year. I've been there in the winter. I've been there in the fall, and I've been there in the summer, but I've never been there in the spring. And I know that that's really kind of a crappy time to travel in the UK because of all the rain and the wet and the mud. But, how can I say that I've seen it unless I've seen it in the spring too? So I don't know. I'm just kind of pondering about that. Ian is saying the Little Mermaid was neat too. I'm not impressed with the Little Mermaid, but I know that a lot of people love that statue. And it's one of the icons of Kolbenhavn. So, but anyway, that's next week's show. We won't be talking about that this week. So what my idea is to go to the UK, fly into London, probably as I always do, take a train out of London somewhere like, maybe Windsor or somewhere. Maybe I'll go to Royal Berkshire. I don't know. And rent a car and, kind of getting out of London in order to rent a car. And then driving around in the UK, because previously my travels in the UK have been almost exclusively by train. And I do love traveling by train, don't get me wrong. But I'm thinking that traveling by car would give me a lot more freedom and a lot more control over my schedule. And I wouldn't have to worry so much about making a reservation, getting on the train, et cetera, et cetera. May not happen, but yeah, I'm thinking that, for a number of reasons. You travel by train, and you're traveling alone, and I think it's a pretty good deal. But if you're traveling with two people, I think renting a car makes a lot more sense. The problem is that when you're traveling by train, as opposed to traveling by car, you are somewhat restricted in the places that you can go. And I think one good example was back when my best friend Paul and I were hiking the Hadrian's Wall path. This would have been back in 2008. It was in 2009. We went to this tiny, tiny little town outside of Carlisle. Carlisle is towards the end of the trail. It was our last little base camp. That was our last place that we stayed in. The last stop of the Hadrian's Wall path is not that far past Carlisle. So we spent a night in Carlisle, and then the next day we set off, finished the trail, took a bus back to Carlisle, and spent the rest of the day in Carlisle. Yeah, we spent a couple of days in Carlisle, basically. Nice little town, Carlisle. It's not a really fancy town, but they do have a nice city center. Not too many chavs hanging about. I thought it was a really nice little town. They had some really lovely Indian restaurants there. And I think Paul and I ate Indian food every night that we were in Carlisle. But there was a little town between Carlisle and Bowness upon Solway, which is where the Hadrian's Wall trail ends. And other than hiking there, the only other way to get there is by car. You really can't see it. And there's a lot of stuff of historical interest in that town. I don't remember the name of the town right offhand. Somebody can clue me in. I don't know. It was where Edward I is buried, or Edward III. I'm not sure. It's Edward III, I guess, is buried there. And, because he died of dysentery from from the local swamp and is buried there in the parish church. But didn't really have a chance to check out that church properly. And, we were on foot and trying to get from point A to point B. And, by the time we came back, it was actually kind of starting to get dark. And we had to be on the bus anyhow. But I do want to go back there. And there's other places in the UK, and particularly in places in Scotland that are a little bit more remote, where the train doesn't go. So that's sort of my idea, is to go over there, rent a car, and actually just drive around and have a little bit of more freedom in going to some places that are perhaps a little bit more off the beaten path than normal. And I think that sounds like a lot of fun, but of course it depends on so many things. Mostly depends on finances, depends on whether or not I I managed to find a new job almost immediately, which would be really nice. So those are some of the options that are on the table. The other thing I was looking at tickets to Japan, and not for any particular reason, but just because it's been a long time since I've been there and I would really, really like to go back. But that's looking as kind of a less possible possibility at this point, seeing as the airfares to Japan have gone up. So I don't know. Well, I guess we'll just find out. But I think a road trip here in the U.S., that would be the least expensive option. I would have the option of staying with relatives. You know, just kind of, you know, being able to have an easier pace. The problem, of course, you know, when you take a road trip in the United States is that the U.S. is such a big place. We're very spread out here. And I could go visit my cousin in California, or I could visit my dad and my siblings in Florida. I see my mom in Arkansas. I got other cousins that live on the East Coast. You know, we're kind of spread out all over the country. You can't do that in 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, I did a big circle around North America back in 2000, which took me 2 months to complete. And I wasn't staying for extended periods of time anywhere. I was, saying, you know, a day or two in any place at the most. And then having to move on because, you know, I wanted to make it the big circle all the way around. And then, you know, not have any days left over. Before I had to start classes again. I was in college at the time, and it was just a really, really nice trip. A lot of just driving through the most beautiful parts of the country. And I saw a lot of the national parks. I saw the Grand Canyon. I saw the Painted Desert. I saw Banff and Jasper Park up in Canada. Got to see Niagara Falls. You know, really, really interesting sights along the way. And there's still some sites I'd like to see along the way that I didn't get a chance to that time because I was kind of going around the edge of North America, not kind of right straight through the middle. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think, though, I do need kind of a break, kind of a little bit of a vacation following all of this stress that we've had here over the last week or so. It's really, really weird. You know, I try not to talk about work too much, but when kind of the edict came down from on high, much like Chris Reardon, you know, when he's decreeing things. When the edict kind of came down from high, he said, yes, the rumors are true, the company's been sold, and you're all going to lose your jobs. The whole attitude of the office has changed. And I'm sort of the person who takes it one day at a time anyway. I don't think my attitude hasn't changed at all, because my work is still there to be done. But I've seen it in the other people in the office. You know, I didn't see that last time before they let me go, because I knew that I was the only one going. But now it's everybody, including my boss. And it is really, really interesting, and it seems like they've just kind of given up, and they're just kind of going through the motions at this point. And I don't get that, because aren't they going to be relying on their current employer for you know, a referral, or not a referral, recommendation, or you know, what do they call that when you need a reference? They're trying to get a reference from their employer, and they're slacking off, and they're not doing what they're supposed to do. I don't get that. My attitude about doing a job, and this, it doesn't matter whether it's my real job or indeed doing this show, is to be reliable, is to be, you know, dependable, and to be there, and to show up and do my job, do my job to the best of my ability, collect my pay, and then just put my job out of my mind. I don't take my job home with me. I've never been one of those people who obsesses about their job when they're not there at the job, except when things like this happen, because obviously if I wasn't obsessing about it, I wouldn't be talking about it on my show. But it's just a matter of just doing the job, getting on with it, and taking care of business. And that's kind of how I am. So if anybody has a job out there for me, please feel to let me know. The email address is tom@tomharrisusa.com, or indeed tom@unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. And we do still have a little bit of time here. If anyone would like to Skype in here in the last 14 minutes of the show, please feel free to do so. I do enjoy hearing from people. And I don't see that a lot of people are on today. I think probably there's a lot of hungover people out there. I know that Ross Patzelt is hungover. I saw a Facebook status from him earlier today talking about how hungover he was. Yes, because he spent New Year's Eve down at the pub. And I believe that before I got off work yesterday, he was already saying that he had had a couple of pints. So for all of you who are hungover, I do you have my sympathy, but not too much sympathy. What's wrong with going out for New Year's Eve and just having one or two? Why do people go out? The whole binge drinking thing is one thing, you know. Back when I was younger, I used to drink a lot more than I do now. But I don't drink a ton now because what has happened is I've gotten older and now I drink mainly for the taste of things. This is why I like, you know, nice whiskey or you know, nice cider and not the cheap stuff that just gets you drunk as quickly as possible. I don't really get the point of going out and drinking to get drunk. I don't find being drunk fun. And I especially don't find the aftermath of being drunk fun. And you get dehydrated and all that. So, you know, and then you get a headache or hungover and you don't feel good. And so for the last 10 years or so, my attitude about alcohol is drink for the taste of it, not to get drunk, and that served me very well. And occasionally I'll, you know, get a little tipsy, but that's just kind of not my thing anymore. And it used to be I'd go out to clubs, go out to bars, you know, drink with my friends, drink with people. Yeah, it's funny how you have, I don't know if it's the same way in the UK, if it is, people can let me know. Back when I was hanging out in clubs a lot and bars, I had bar friends. And these were people who I would only see when I was out drinking. Didn't spend time with them any other time. The people who I would hang out with at the bars, have a few drinks with, have a laugh with, sometimes a little bit more, if you know what I mean. But that was the only time I ever saw them. Didn't have any kind of personal connection with them. They were just bar friends. I don't know if that's the same way in the UK or not. But I think that the pub culture in the UK is fundamentally different than the bar culture here in the States. I don't see it as being similar at all. And it's one of the reasons why I don't go to bars very often when I'm here at home in the UK. Or home in the UK. Blah. Freudian slip there, folks. UK is my second home, but it's not home all the time. But when I'm here in the States, I don't go out to bars very often. But when I'm in the UK, I'm down at the pub almost every night. And a lot of that has to do with the pub culture and just enjoying the atmosphere a little bit more than I would going out to bars here. And I, of course, always like the very, very sort of traditional pubs that have a lot of wood, and you know, and sometimes they've been there for a couple hundred years, and you know, I really enjoy that. That's one of the things about traveling in the UK that I really, really appreciate, is that you go into a pub that has some history. There was one pub I went into. I don't really remember where this is now, but it had been there for I think 300 years. Might have been in York. I don't really remember. If somebody knows this, let me know. And they were doing some you know, renovation work in the pub or whatever. And they found a mummified hand inside the wall of the pub. And here, if you found something like that, you know, the police are called and all this stuff. You know, make a big scene about it. And just to kind of focus on how different the UK is in some ways to the US. Instead of doing all that, though they may have done that too, I suppose. They actually display the hand in a glass case in the pub. And I wish I could remember where that was. But it could have been in Shrewsbury or York. I don't remember. It was from that trip. Kind of the trip in 96 when I spent the fall in the UK. I don't remember if anyone knows that. But I do love these old, you know, sort of traditional pubs and going in and having a nice local cider kind of just enjoying the ambiance of something that you don't really find here. When, you know, and places like Belushi's, like, you know, it's not really the same. And I, you know, we went when my best friend Paul and I were hiking Hadrian's Wall. You know, we started out from London, and the night before we left for Newcastle, where we started our hike, we went to Belushi's, where Chris was doing his karaoke. And the reason we went there was to meet Chris, not really to do the karaoke. But was very, very different from your average, I think, quiet neighborhood pub. More boisterous, because of the hostel, accommodation. So it's a younger crowd, more, people from outside of the UK. You know, very, very different sort of atmosphere to the sort of traditional pubs that I like. There's actually one, is actually on the way to Bowness upon Solway between Carlisle and Bowness, so I was talking about earlier, called the Highland Laddie Pub. And that was, I think, Paul and my favorite pub that we went into. Just this gorgeous little pub, kind of run down, but beautiful old building, at least 200 years old. A very, very small pub, all local people. Just very, very, very nice indeed. All right, well, we're coming up here. It's 10:53 a.m. here in Chicago. We have about 7 minutes to the show. There's still time to call in if you're out there. If you want to call in, please feel free to do so. The Skype is United Kingdom Radio, and the contact information one more time is 020-3287-1488. And I've kind of run out of stuff to talk about. I did not do proper preparation, folks. I do admit it. It's vamping, folks. Waiting for the curtain to come down. But that sometimes you get shows like that. It just kind of depends, you know. Sometimes I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Sometimes I don't have a lot of stuff to talk about. Well, as I said, next week may not be on, but right now I'm kind of thinking I will be because of my endoscopy and indeed my colonoscopy, which I'm not looking forward to. Because I'm getting to be middle-aged, folks, and you got to have these things done. You got to get checked out. If there are any problems, find them out. They do recommend these sort of things for guys who are, in their 40s and 50s. And it is to me getting to that age when I'm even older than Chris Reardon and have to go through all these tests. At least I don't have to go to the hospital twice a year. I don't envy Chris that. But going and having this procedure done is I'm not looking forward to it. I have to actually get this gook. I don't know. I forget what it's called. And starting at on Friday after lunch, I'm not allowed to eat anything. And I'm going to be on a clear liquid diet, which basically means that I can't drink anything that's red. This is essentially what that means. No alcohol. They said coffee was okay, though, so I guess caffeine is okay. And I have to drink this this liquid, and you mix it up with... I see that Bob, I don't know, has come on. Hello, Bob. Let's see. Bob, I don't know, just woke up. Was it the Haunch of Venison Pub in Salisbury? It may well have been, Bob. It may well have been. In which case, it was in 2000... when I was there. That is possible. Very, very, very possible. So have you been there, Bob? Let us know. And indeed, if you want to call in the last 2 minutes of the show, please feel free to do so. Okay. Bob is saying, yes, it's the Haunch of Venison Pub in Salisbury. And it says, if it is, then it was stolen in both 2004 and in 2010. It's thought to be the hand of a card cheat. Yes, that sounds exactly right. That I believe that there was a little placard on there, and it's saying, "Yeah." So that isn't that interesting. You would never see anything like that here in the States. But why? You know, my question is: so you have this card cheat, okay? He's playing cards in the pub. He gets caught cheating. I can understand that people get mad at him and they want to kill him or whatever. They chop his hand off. But the best place they can find to put that hand is in the wall of the pub. That just somehow doesn't make much sense to me. But then again, a lot of things don't make sense to me. But imagine that. Anyway, so next week, possibly not here, but probably will be. I'm anticipating the endoscopy is not going to cause me to have any kind of throat issue, and I'll be on here next week to talk about Denmark, and we'll have a good time with that. Anyway, it's about time to wrap up the show. Do appreciate everybody who has been listening today. I know you're out there. I know that there are people out there listening, even if you didn't call in. Anyway, this is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, signing off for this week. See you next week. I'm going to go have brunch with my boyfriend. Take care, and Happy New Year, folks. Happy 2011.